Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to the Wolverine Confidential Podcast. I am Andrew Kahn.
I'm Ryan Zook.
And I'm Eric Mann.
Big Ten football media days are next week. We share the questions we hope to get answered in Indianapolis. We've got some basketball news as well. All that and more on this episode of Wolverine Confidential. All right, guys, you see my man, Polar Bear Pete, dominate the home run derby a couple nights ago.
That was fantastic, considering I bet on him to win. So I very thoroughly enjoyed that.
There you go. So did I. I mean, you know, the guy, not the favorite. That won't be the case in future years. This guy looks like he's just going to win this thing for the next decade.
He was a machine. Like, it's literally the guy who was pitching to him was just screwing him down the middle, and it's just, and he was hitting him 400-500 feet like every time. It seemed like that was impressive. That was sweet. And it seems like he was enjoying it too. It's good to see a guys that actually want to be there and compete, and instead of just being there to, oh yeah, I was begged to come and I'm here. So
but I think he makes more money winning the home run derby than his salary, right?
He does. Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
I would be excited too if my pay doubled, you know.
Yeah, two years ago, I mean, it's the same deal, you know. He was getting even less and, you know, made $1 million off of it. So yeah, it is, you know, that wouldn't mean much to some of these players, but yeah, it certainly does to him. Yeah, so we'll see. I'll be in Pittsburgh this weekend, hoping to see my Mets, weather permitting. Beautiful stadium there, so see how it goes. You know, I've always meant to ask you guys too. I have this, it just sits right here at my desk as we talk, my daily office trivia calendar. Do you guys, but I guess I can't say I've ever discussed the show The Office with you two to know if you are fans. I'm getting a no shake from Aaron.
Yes, I am an Office fan.
All right. Dwight offers what kind of lessons as part of his secret Santa gift?
Yeah, that's a tutorial. It's not karate.
That's what I guessed. It's not karate. Paintball lessons.
And then
there's today's as well. Because of its early streetcar system, Scranton is also known by what nickname? I knew this one. I didn't know that's how it got the nickname, but I knew it.
It's been a couple of years since I watched through, but yeah, no. That's
Electric City. I could remember it from their little song, Lazy Scranton. They call it that because of the electricity.
Maybe next time.
An episode of Office Trivia. Okay, so like we said, we've got a few different things to talk about. Some hoops news, I guess, and you know, some observations from what's been happening on the court recently. You know, maybe some MLB draft talk as it relates to the Wolverines. But first and foremost, Michigan football. Big Ten media days are next week. Aaron, you'll be there in Indianapolis. Hoping to talk, well, we'll be talking to Jim Harbaugh and, you know, some players as well. It's been a while, yes?
Yeah, we did not have Big Ten media days in person last year. I'm trying to remember if we had like a press conference thing or not. I think we did, but it was definitely virtual over Zoom. So things are kind of getting back to normal. This is at least the first step. Typically in previous years, Big Ten media days is held in some type of hotel conference ballroom. This year, it's going to be at Lucas Oil Stadium, inside the stadium. I don't know how this thing's going to look exactly, but it's definitely going to be more spaced out, more wide open. But yeah, all the coaches will be there from every team. We're getting some players. They're all TBD. I don't have a list, so we don't know which Michigan players are going to be there. But anyway, it's going to be the first time really in over a year, shoot 18 months really, since we've had really one-on-one interaction with Jim Harbaugh and the players. Now, everything last year was pretty much virtual over Zoom or some type of video teleconference. It seems like the Big Ten is heading in the direction of everything being in person again, which It makes sense. It sounds like most of these stadiums, if not all of them, are going to be open in some form or fashion this fall. Fans are going to be allowed back in. So the step toward normal is here, I guess.
It seems like it's been a long time since we've even talked with anyone within the program, even virtually, too. So
right.
Although yeah, we did get Sean Nua a few weeks ago at a recruiting event in person. But yeah, as far as Harbaugh or some players, seems like spring practice was like 3 years ago.
Aaron, I think I might have a couple bucks still on my Lucas Oil Concessions gift card, you know, voucher from NCAA tournament coverage. I can give
send
to
it
you.
Over.
It's a massive building. So yeah, you got to certainly figure out where you're going in and where you're, you know, where things are happening and where you're going to do your writing. You don't want to be leaving stuff, you know, at a table and then you have to walk a couple miles to get to your next stop. But yeah, so I guess let's start with like, what are those questions we're going to ask, even if, you know, we don't get answers. What are kind of the top ones heading into next week?
Well, the number one topic I think everyone wants to know and it's going to ask about, and this is really no different from any previous years, but it's the quarterback position. I mean, I think coming into this year, the assumption is, and this going off of what happened at the end of last year, Cade McNamara is the guy. But again, you know, J.J. McCarthy, as the coaches have said, that J.J. McCarthy is number two in the depth chart. Where does he fare at this point? And then you've got the wild card here with the grad transfer from Texas Tech, Alan Bowman. Now, he's interesting at this point in time because, A, he has not enrolled at the University of Michigan. I, in fact, went checked this morning just to double check. He's still not in the directory. However, I've been told he's been in Ann Arbor for a couple of months now. So he is apparently hanging out around the team. It sounds like he's probably going through some workouts with some of his teammates. But until he's officially enrolled and Michigan has introduced him, I don't think Jim can mention him or talk about him, which is going to get kind of weird if he starts getting asked about the quarterback position. But either way, they have called Cade McNamara their starter coming out of spring. Matt Weiss, new quarterbacks coach, has said that. Jim Harbaugh has said Cade is number one on the depth chart at this point. So I think, you know, the pressure on Cade is unique this year because of the way he won the job last year, kind of coming off the bench and, you know, just flat out playing better than Joel Milton. So he's going to be, you know, I think the face of this football team, at least right now. Whether that changes or not going in the fall camp remains to be seen, because I'm sure there will be some type of competition. I don't think Alan Bowman is coming in with the expectation of riding the bench and or being number two. Now, whether he wins a job is a different story, but quarterback, I think, is by and far, I think, the most interesting storyline with this team, but certainly it's not the only one.
I thought a couple outlets projected Bowman to be the starter this year in recently released magazines.
Yeah, it would not surprise me if he wins a job. And again, I've been asked this question a ton by folks about the quarterback position, and I keep bringing it up because there's some folks that forget he's even coming in. Because, you know, he announced, I think last fall, it was brought up, you know, this winter that he's been tweeting about coming to Michigan, but Michigan still hasn't officially announced him, added him to the roster. He's still not in the directory. And still, so until all that happens, I don't know how much, again, you know, they can mention. So I don't know what the assumption is from the Michigan coaching staff. You know, in previous years, obviously when Shea Patterson came in and John O'Korn and the like, the coaches have always said that, you know, this is a competition. They're not coming in to automatically get the job. Now, that being said, if you look at Alan Bowman's, you know, resume, his track record, he's flat out more experienced than Cade McNamara. He's started more games. He's played more games. He's been more productive at the college level. Now, obviously, the Big 12 and the Big 10 maybe are a little bit different from a defensive perspective, but nonetheless, he's shown that he can play at a high level. Question for him, and again, I don't know if we're going to get any answers to this next week, is how quickly he can adapt and get you know, ingratiated this offense, get familiar with his teammates, and you know, whether or not he has enough time to win the job. Now, could he do it midseason? Could we see a similar situation from last year where, you know, like Milton, maybe McNamara falters and Bowman gets the job? We'll see. But he's certainly going to be in the conversation here.
Yeah, it looks like Phil Steele told the Wolverine that he projects Bowman to be the starter, and Pro Football Focus also paid Bowman as a starter. So yeah, that will be fascinating to follow throughout fall camp and leading into the first week of the season.
I'd be really curious to know what Cade McNamara thinks of all this. And I don't know if he's going to be in Indianapolis next week to talk to the media. I hope he is, because it would be a good question to ask him. You know, what does he make of a grad transfer coming in to try and take his job? Because, you know, that's what Alan Bowman wants to do. He wants to come in and win the starting job. That's why he's coming to Michigan. In fact, I spoke to Alan Bowman's high school coach, former high school coach, the other day for a story coming up here on him. He said Alan had several offers from some other Big Ten schools, including one that basically told him he could come in and be the starter right away. But he wanted to go to Michigan. He wants a Michigan degree. He wants to show that he can compete at the Big Ten level and at a high profile school like Michigan and win the job. So there's certainly an assumption that he's going to come in and win. Whether he does, you know, I don't know. McNamara is an interesting spot right now because he just didn't play a ton last year. We didn't see a lot of him. Yes, he started the game. Yes, he came in and played well at times. He just doesn't have the experience. So it's going to be interesting offseason, fall camp. I don't know how much of that's going to be able to be discussed next week, which is, I think, interesting in and of itself.
But so he's not enrolled yet, as far as you know.
Correct. He's not in the directory. Michigan spokesman has not responded. They haven't said anything. He hasn't been announced by the team. But he, you know, he's here. Like I said, I spoke to his former football coach. He's been here a couple of months, so he's clearly here, ready to play football. I would expect him to be, you know, enrolled sometime in the next couple of weeks because he has to be to start fall camp. Keep in mind, it's important to point out he is a grad transfer, so he graduated from Texas Tech. He doesn't necessarily need to enroll at this point because they're not going through any official practices or workouts. But once fall camp gets kicked off here in early August, in the next couple of weeks, he'll have to be.
Yeah. I mean, I could speak to this from the men's basketball side. They got a grad transfer this year, Devontae Jones. And again, the formal announcement was way after him announcing he was coming. Part of that was the holdup from also to clearing for the NBA draft. But even after that became clear, there was a delay, and it's because of, you know, paperwork involved and actually, you know, applying to the school, getting accepted and things like that. And then, you know, in some cases, Michigan just deciding not to make a big deal about it maybe. But so he hasn't like been acknowledged by like any coach in any interview yet or anything either. His name has not really been spoken.
His name has not come up.
No. But that will change next week, we imagine, you know, one way or the other. But yeah, it is interesting. Like you said, at the top, you know, the just lack of continuity at the quarterback position for Michigan. I guess you had Shea Patterson after you kind of knew when he came, he was probably going to be the starter. And certainly after that first year, when he came back, you knew he would be again. But, you know, in the years since and in a long stretch before that, I don't know, you got to go back to maybe like Devin Gardner, you know, knowing that a guy who started one particular year was definitely your guy the next year. And yeah, having a, you know, several good options is a good thing. But if it's like several mediocre options, and that's not ideal.
Yeah, if you recall back in 2018, it was certainly a point of contention with Wilton Spate when his decision to transfer. He was told outright beginning of the year that he wasn't the guaranteed starter. He was going to have to work for the job, and it kind of rubbed him the wrong way. So, but this is, you know, this isn't new. This is something Jim Harbaugh has preached since he's gotten to Michigan. He likes competition. He feels like, you know, he doesn't feel like he owes anyone anything, and he wants his quarterbacks to earn it. And that's certainly going to be the case, I think, here in fall camp between Cade McNamara, Alan Bowman, and you know, to some degree, J.J. McCarthy, because I don't think he's necessarily miles and leaps and bounds below these two either. I think McCarthy is obviously the future, as you know, folks tend to think. He's a five-star recruit. He's certainly talented. But he's got some time to, he's going to have to work his way into, you know, being a college quarterback. And that's not easy. I mean, it's rare where we see a true freshman quarterback come in to a big time program, win the starting job and become a superstar right away. It just rarely happens. So it's going to take some time for him. Meanwhile, you know, Michigan's got to figure out what they have here in Cade McNamara, because look, you know, he looked good at times last year, but he's certainly not, you know, a bona fide, you know, the guy at this point. Bowman, as I said, is certainly more experienced. He's been around a lot longer. He's going to have an opportunity here, I think, to win the starting job.
And give me another question or two, Aaron or Ryan, you know, that we want to ask next week.
For me, I still want to know more about what this defensive scheme is going to look like. I mean, they've had more time to implement it. They had spring practice to kind of get these players acclimated to Mike McDonald's new scheme. So yeah, let's hear, like, what's the personnel going to be look like? Or, I mean, how many like defensive tackles are going to be on the field? Like, is it just going to be Christopher Hinton, or are you going to have like Mozzie Smith and Donovan Jeter on the field with Hinton at the same time? Is Aiden Hutchinson really going to not line up with his hand in the dirt more often than not? Like, I mean, it would be nice to get a few more answers as to kind of what the scheme and personnel is going to look like when they take the field for their opener.
It's a good one. You know, it's something McDonald's been asked a couple times now. He's been kind of, you know, dodgy about, and I don't know if that's because he generally doesn't know, did or at least didn't know at the time what they wanted to do or how things were going to look shape out with the personnel. But I think more importantly, the question that needs to be posed to him is where he sees his defensive scheme a year from now. Like, what is his grand vision for this thing? Because look, the reality is they don't have the talent or the type of player they necessarily want to play this thing, but they got to work with what they have. And that's always the case whenever coaching staffs change, philosophies change, schemes change. You know, Michigan's working with, you know, bare bones to begin with. I mean, they were thin in defensive tackle to begin with. They're certainly thin at linebacker. So they've really got to accentuate their positives, and the positives are they got some decent guys in the ends. They've got some experienced guys at linebacker. They just don't have enough of them. So it's like you got to put guys in certain positions to succeed. And I think that's why you're gonna see some type of form of. And it, look, I think they're gonna do some 4-3, but you're gonna see a heavy amount of 3-4, 3-3-5 this year. Where and we've heard it already. Aiden Hutchinson playing kind of more of an outside linebacker role. Taylor Upshaw doing the same. Where they're hand off the dirt, rushing the quarterback, and they're going to throw some big bodies up front, which is something we haven't seen a ton the last couple of years with Don Brown. So it's going to look different. You know, I don't know if McDonald clearly knows what it's going to look like at this point, as he has said, but certainly now he's, you know, good, what, 4 or 5 months into the job, he's got to have some better idea of kind of, you know, I have to think.
You would hope so. You would hope so. And I mean, yeah, like even a guy like Michael Barrett, like where is he going to fit in? Like, it seems like he would be a guy that would need to put on a lot of weight to fit in this new scheme and to move positions. So we haven't really heard much about him. The cornerback position still a big question mark. I mean, are they going to rely on Jamon Green and Vincent Gray again? It seemed like Jamon really was starting to break through late in last year, but then Vincent Gray really struggled, and there's not a lot of proven commodities behind him. Is this the year that an Andre Selden or Darian Green Warren kind of take control and move up the depth chart? I think Michigan is going to have a successful year. They're going to need a lot of guys to surprise and kind of come out of nowhere to be really competitive, because just looking at the depth chart right now, it's like, all right, yeah, you know, you have Daxon Hill you can put out there, Brad Hawkins and Aiden Hutchinson, who are above average players in the Big Ten. But outside of that, it's you're going to need some guys to really fill some roles and step up in a big way.
And to surprise folks, I think is going to be really difficult this year, given the fact that this is just a new scheme. You're going to see a lot of guys who, maybe if this defensive staff had stayed and they, you know, they had kept the same system, maybe would have taken that next step this year. But because they're changing so much and playing so many guys, maybe not out of, I don't want to say out of position, but like in different roles than they're used to, I think you're going to see a lot of guys slow out of the gate. And I think that's why you're going to see the defense struggle this year. But going back to Michael Barrett, it's a good point you brought up. You know, I'm surprised he didn't transfer this year. We saw so many guys, so many linebackers, especially hit the transfer portal after Don Brown was dismissed. I thought he genuinely was going to be one of them. He was a Don Brown recruited guy. They were grooming him to be Viper. I mean, he played Viper. He was that type of guy Don Brown liked, who could play different positions. And I don't know how well he's going to fit into this scheme. Now, look, they're probably going to play him just because he's the most, other than Josh Ross, he's the most experienced guy. So they don't really have anything else to work with. So they're going to have to kind of like plug him into some role where he can excel. You know, maybe he's lost weight. Maybe he's gained some weight. I don't know, to fit a certain role, but yeah, I'm surprised he didn't leave. But you're right. Defensive backs are going to be interesting. I think safeties will be fine. Don't be surprised if you see a lot of five. They use a lot of five defensive backs, whether that's a, you know, 3-3-5, like I said, or like according to typical, you know, 3-4. But they're going to have to do some things, I think, to hide some of their weaknesses. And last year, quite frankly, the cornerbacks were probably the biggest weaknesses on the team, as you saw in the games against Michigan State and Indiana.
Yeah, I mean, when you're adjusting to these new schemes, I mean, you got to be reacting and not thinking before you react. And if you're a fringe player regardless, and you're having to take an extra split second to think about what you're supposed to do, that could lead to some big plays drawn the other way. But we'll see. We just don't know at this point, and that's what the fall and media days might answer some of those questions.
I keep bringing this point up in interviews. I'm going to keep hammering this home. When Michigan changed offensive coordinators in 2019, they brought back so many guys. It was talent. You brought back a starting quarterback. You brought back experienced offensive line. You had some talented playmakers on the outside. And look how long it took them to get going from an offensive standpoint. Now, obviously, offenses and defenses are totally different and everything else. But now he's Michigan changing schemes. They have a new coordinator in. They lost a bunch of guys. They just don't have a lot of talent on the defensive side of the ball, especially at every position. So to expect them to come in and play well this year, I think it's just it's not realistic. Michigan's really going to struggle on defense. I think there'll be some situations where they can try and kind of plug the holes and do it the best they can. But against the Big Ten's elite, Ohio State, Penn State, maybe Wisconsin even, they're really going to struggle. So it's going to be, I think, a trying year for them. We'll get into more as the season goes on, but there's going to be some struggles on the defensive side of the ball, and probably even more so than last year.
Good points all around, and I'm sure there are many more questions as well to be asked, but you know, those are the main ones, and we'll have coverage of the media days, of course, and kind of talk about what comes out of it, you know, afterwards. And we've said we're going to hit on some other sports, so let's do that. So there's some news from the men's basketball program. One of the six freshmen that make up the number one recruiting class in the country, Caleb Houston, performed well on the international stage with Canada's under-19 team in the FIBA World Cup in Latvia. He was the Canada's leading scorer, 17 points a game. They won the bronze medal. Only loss came to eventual champion United States. It was a close game. Caleb Houston played well. I mean, he's known as a deadly three-point shooter. That wasn't really the case in this tournament. He struggled a little bit with his shot. Percentages weren't great, but, he scored in other ways, and, those who were actually there in attendance were impressed by what they saw. So he will be, this is Wednesday, we're recording this, he'll be arriving in Ann Arbor tonight. Whether he joins the team for practice tomorrow remains to be seen. We'll see how they handle it with him coming off international competition. They had a training camp leading up to it, but he'll be in Ann Arbor at least ready to join his teammates. You can read on MLive.com/Wolverines right now, a story about what the first few weeks of practice have looked like. Talk to assistant coach Phil Martelli to get insights on mostly the newcomers, the freshmen, now the other five, and Devontae Jones, a graduate transfer point guard, as well as any surprises or things that, changes from players from when we last saw him last season. So I don't know. I thought it was some good stuff from Martelli. So you can read that story for more. As far as recruiting, there was just a live evaluation period. So coaches were, kind of all over the country watching players and in some case, offering some scholarships. Again, you can read about that on MLive.com. Ernest Uday Jr., the most recent that we know of to have received a scholarship offer, a center in this 2022 class. So Michigan has offered, a few big men in this class. It'll be interesting to see, which one they end up landing. But very, very active on the trail. Actually able to get out there now in person and see these players. So we said we'd close with MLB draft just happened this week. And a few Wolverines were chosen. Yes, Ryan?
Yes, three of them. The now Michigan's had at least three selections in every draft since 2015, which says a lot about a program in the northern part of the United States. Had another second round pick this year for the third straight year, and it was left-handed pitcher Steven Hajar, tall left-handed pitcher, and he went to the Minnesota Twins in the second round, 61st overall, I believe. And then shortstop Benjamin Sims, a graduate transfer from Kansas. He was taken in the 15th round by the Colorado Rockies, had a really solid year, was one of three players to start all 46 games for Michigan this season, batted over 300, had some extra base pop. And then the final player that was drafted was right-handed pitcher Blake Beers. Had a rough year in 2021 with an ERA over 8, but still features a high 90s fastball. I'm sure the Oakland A's who drafted him will hope he'll be a project type of draft pick, and hopefully they can kind of harness some of that pitching potential at the minor league level. So yeah, overall a decent showing in another draft that was shortened to 20 rounds this year. Remember, last year's was only 5. And Michigan had 4 players go last year. So maybe next year, I'm not sure, it'll go back up to its, I think 40 rounds or I think around there, but we'll see.
It's rare that I have an opinion on a player that the Mets draft. You know, I don't really follow, you know, it's, again, following the high school players or some of these college players to know, but I did in this case, their first round pick at number 10 overall, they got Kumar Rocker from Vanderbilt. I certainly remember that
steal
that name. Yeah. From, you know, a couple years ago in the College World Series. And yeah, I was like, all right, yeah, he's a stud, huge kid and big arm and all that.
After that freshman year, everyone was saying like teams were going to tank for Kumar just because he was kind of that highly thought of, and he still is. And I don't think anyone expected him to drop all the way to 10. So that was a real nice pickup there for the Mets.
There you go. All right. Cool. Start and end with some, you know, on somewhat unrelated talk. That's how we do it here on Wolverine Confidential. Thank you for listening to this episode and continue to read on MLive.com/Wolverines.